football. Barry Shuck of Dogs by Nature talking Cleveland Brown football with us each and every week. We'll look at the playoff scenarios as well, joining us to talk some college, NFL football, and more. Barry, appreciate the time.
Yeah, how are y'all doing? It's kind of muggy, and I heard it's going to be freezing this weekend.
Yes, it is. If that was from my weather report, I would double check just because. But if it is going to be that way, then I saw where it's going to right after New Year's. I was looking at the phone, and it goes from like highs of 78, lows of like 68 to like 50 and 38. So we're getting a real cold front. It's going to be the first piece of winter. But when it comes down to it, Barry, this is the epitome of what Josh Heupel right here. Guy knows how to recruit, knows how to run an offense, but there are some people that honestly at the end of the day that just aren't that smart when it comes to making the easy decisions. And, we just watched him throw two Hail Marys when they really only needed to get about 5 yards to get into field goal range. And then they snuck it on fourth down and got lucky with 1 second left to still get a shot here.
Yeah, so their quarterback knows how to do a quarterback sneak, because I heard Jacksonville's doesn't at all.
No. Oh, my goodness. That Barry, I don't know how. They had the ball, what was it, on the 2 yard line? I know they were inside the five at least, and they had four plays, and they couldn't get in the end zone. I just found that remarkable.
Yeah, and you look at Tom Brady. All Tom Brady does is he sits under the center, and he just leaps and sticks the ball over, and it's a first down every time. If you've got a fourth and a half, a fourth and one, he makes it 1,000 out of 1,000 attempts. And I know Lawrence has got long arms like that, so I don't know how people get their comments and their renditions of what happened.
Real quick about to stick to Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence. So he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in, I believe it is 8 games now. Is there anything to make of this? I know, obviously, he's playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but, if not to say that he's not talented enough, because I think he is, but how – there, if you have enough talent, I feel like you're able to get the ball into the end zone, at one point. But he has one touchdown pass in 8 games. I feel like that's actually hard to do as a quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a horrible, horrible roster, and it's kind of sad to think that they're going to get the number one overall pick 2 years in a row. I mean, I can understand having it 1 year and being a top 10, but 2 years in a row? Of course, he doesn't have any wide receiver, if you ask me. I think his best receiver was Chark, and he's been gone on the IR at least 4 weeks now. But even if it's an offensive line, Andrew Novell just never came across the money they were paying. And Cam Robinson, I mean, how many teams has he played for? He had Ben Bartsch. I saw Ben Bartsch at the Senior Bowl last year, the year before, and graded him one of the worst players. I saw a defensive lineman just ran and pushed him all over. And so that you just got to be able to – and he's got no running game. He lost ETN early, and then he just lost his backup running back. So, you got nobody to throw to and nobody to block and nobody to hand it to, and it's just Trevor Lawrence on an island.
Barry, when you look at the playoff scenarios, has anything changed in your mind after watching last week? It seems like sort of the storyline is Tampa Bay, we know they have Brady, but can they have enough weapons to stay healthy on offense? For Green Bay, it's they always seem to play close, but if they get home field advantage, they're still unbeaten, and you got Aaron Rodgers. Then you got L.A. and Dallas, who are the wild cards, who, like, the Rams, I think most people have given up on Arizona, just in the mindset. They've lost 3 straight. They just don't look the same. But, you got the L.A. Rams and Dallas, who have the rosters, but there's that you're the Rams and you have Stafford, and you're the Dallas Cowboys, and you're the Dallas Cowboys. You usually lose and choke in the big moment right there. What do you think? Who do you think currently is the best team in the NFC?
Well, what's weird about the playoffs here is if you look at both conferences, the NFC has 5 teams that have already clinched a spot in the playoffs. Now, they're still jockeying for position, either clinching in division or clinching a playoff spot. But the first 5 picks, so there's only 2 slots left, and there's a ton of teams that are jockeying for those. But the AFC is just a coin flip. You've got the Kansas City Chiefs, are the only team that has gone and clinched, and they've clinched their division. They've got the number one seed right now, and all the rest underneath are just trying like they can. I think every team but Tennessee is either 9-6 or 8-7 or 7-8. Whereas if this happens this weekend and this happens the second weekend, take the Browns, for instance. If they win two games, their last two games, and Cincinnati loses their last two games, and then the Steelers lose one of two and the Ravens lose both of theirs, the Browns win not only the AFC North division, but they gain the number four seed. So right now they're like, I don't know, what, 12th, 13th seed, and they can become the fourth seed. So you've got the NFC that's got all these good teams that have already clinched and are in the division, in the playoffs, whereas the AFC is just a hodgepodge of a bunch of wannabes that are jockeying for position.
Well, and I think one of the things that's interesting too is that down the stretch, the Ravens obviously have had issues with injuries, but you know, not having a healthy Lamar Jackson is. I mean, he might be able to play. I think they're expecting him to be able to play this weekend. But, I mean, say he doesn't go. I mean, that really hurts their chances if they even have any. So, I mean, we're at this point where any sort of a positive COVID test can really shake things up. And obviously, injuries at this point of the season are really impacting teams, whether it be with the race to get into the playoffs. And also, once we get into the postseason, I mean, we always talk about the healthiest team a lot of times ends up going all the way. I mean, there are a number of teams who are dealing with injury issues right now in that AFC.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw a clip of Lamar Jackson, and I saw a clip of his offensive coordinator, Roman, and they were both trotting around the field. I think their offensive coordinator, who probably weighs about 280, has got more chance of playing than Lamar does. He is gimpy. He's limping. He's just not getting around the field. I think you'll see Hundley play in that. And what's sad about that, and this happens all the time, you take one guy and take him out of your offense, which is a historically great offense that are scoring a lot of points and getting a lot of first down. You take him out like Dak Prescott with the Cowboys last year, and all of a sudden the offense falls apart. And that's what happened with the Ravens. It's sad that one guy can make that much impact. But you take anybody, you take Tom Brady off the Patriots, when he was down with the Patriots that one year and Matt Castle had to fill in, and you take Aaron Rodgers out of the Packers this year, and what, look at the one game that he didn't play, and look what his backup did. So the fact that the Ravens have lost four in a row and they've lost seven out of their last 11 doesn't surprise me at all when probably the best player on the field is not actually on the field.
Well, I think too with a lot of the guys, like you mentioned with the Ravens, some teams, the injuries just add up to a point where you want to stay healthy, and there's no such thing as a healthy NFL team the entire season. Guys are going to get banged up and get hurt. A lot of guys play through injuries, like even Baker Mayfield, that we know with that torn labrum, he's going to eventually have surgery. But when it comes down to it, Barry, you look at the Baltimore Ravens, and some teams you almost feel bad for. I don't. I'm not a Ravens fan, but but at the same time, I don't think either of you are too as well. But when it comes down to three running backs in the preseason all going out within a week and a half, you know, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, the guys that were supposed to be the catalyst of that three-headed monster with Lamar Jackson running the football that led the NFL in rushing yards last year. Then you look at, you know, in the secondary, Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey are their big guys. They're both hurt right now. You know, on the defensive line, you got Derek Wolfe, who's usually really good at getting the quarterback from Cincinnati, getting ready for, I'm sure, the game tomorrow. On the offensive line, Ronnie Stanley, one of the best left tackles in the game, out. I mean, they have, if you look at the key positions all the way across the board, and now obviously with Lamar Jackson, they've just had too many injuries to be that same team.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you who I'm most impressed with right now in both conferences, and who I think is going to storm into the playoffs with their head up, is one in the NFC is the Philadelphia Eagles. They've won five out of their last six. They have beaten their own division. They've also beaten the Broncos, and they're absolutely on fire. Another team that I'm real impressed with is in the AFC is the Miami Dolphins. They started the season absolutely horrible, losing going 1-7, but now 2-4-6. Now they won 7 in a row, and they've beaten some decent teams. They've also beaten some not so good teams, but they are absolutely on fire. The Colts are a team that needs to be reckoned with. But I tell you another team that I don't think anybody's talking about as far as playoffs go, is the Tennessee Titans. Now they don't have a big win streak. They're 10-5. Nobody's really talking about them. They're leading their division. They've got the number two seed behind, of course, the powerful Chiefs. But here's the thing about Tennessee. At some point, even maybe at the end of the year or into the playoffs, they're going to get Derrick Henry back. So they're 10-5, the number two seed, the number one team in the AFC South, which is also the division that the Colts are in. So you got two good teams in that, and they're leading that. And when the playoffs start, they're going to get their workhorse back. They're going to be amazing once he comes back.
So you think, Barry, that when he comes back, he'll be fully healthy and ready to go? I mean, obviously, the hope is for that. But in terms of that injury that he had, you think that he'll be able to get back to at least some of the form that he had been in over the last year or so?
Yeah, there's no telling, especially with a running back. It would be the one thing that he would have to wait to see if he can do is his cutting ability. Not taking the hit, not falling down, not all the other moves, but when you make a cut, how does that perform once you make that cut? Because that's what a running back does. That's his bread and butter right there. But if he can be completely healthy, and I wouldn't think they would bring him in unless he was completely healthy. If they can bring him in, they're already a good team. They've already got a good backup complement to him. And it's like the Browns. The Browns didn't have Kareem Hunt. They didn't have Nick Chubb. And then they've got their number three guy, D'Ernest Johnson, and he had 142 yards in a single game. And so they went, well, now we got three guys. Well, I think that's what Tennessee is going to do, is they're going to say that they got two guys. So when Derrick Henry needs a blow, or this other guy is a lot better in the receiving game, then that can complement them. But I can't wait to see what they're going to do in the playoffs.
Barry, it's going to be exciting across the board. I mean, as a Pats fan, I didn't realize last week, but I understand that, you know, Mac Jones is still a rookie, and rookies don't just walk into the postseason, or even they still have some work to do to make the playoffs, because if Miami does beat Tennessee, it's going to come down to that game. If the Patriots lose to Jacksonville this week, I first off, enjoy talking to Drew next week. I'm going to be on vacation. I'm done. But at the same time, you know, you look, Barry, across the board, and I think, honestly, Kansas City is starting to figure things out, and defensively they're playing a brand of football, which they are capable with the Honey Badger and some of those guys out there. So I just think at this point we're just going to see probably Kansas City versus either Green Bay or Tampa. And I hope I'm wrong, because I don't want to see all that again, but I think that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, and as far as the Patriots go, of course they play Jacksonville, but then they play the Miami Dolphins their last game. I think that might determine whether Miami gets in, or if New England stays at the fifth seed, or if they even drop down to the sixth or the seventh seed, which means they won't have any home games. But you look at New England's losses. They lost to the Bills. They lost to the Colts. They lost to the Cowboys. They lost to the Buccaneers. They lost to the Dolphins early in the first game. Except for the Saints, all of their losses are to really, really good teams. So it's not like they can't compete against good teams. They can. They just this year maybe just can't get over the hump. Now, it's just good that they can beat some other teams. Well, they beat the Bills and the Titans. They beat the Browns. They beat the Chargers. So they can beat some middle of the road to good teams. The AFC and NFL elite, they have trouble with. But I definitely see the Patriots getting in. And then who knows? Who knows what will happen in the postseason?
Wow, and I think
there was one thing that I was going to say, and I think one of the interesting parts of this, and I think, sorry, Barry, did you have something to say?
No, No, I was just commenting.
I'm going to let you know, Barry, we're a little distracted right now. It was fourth and goal at the one in an overtime game with Tennessee and Purdue right now. So it's – and.
One thing I think that is interesting to follow, Barry, is with this additional game being scheduled for everybody, and it doesn't matter the matchups necessarily, but if you look down the stretch for these last 2 weeks, there are certain teams that have a much easier path, if you will, to get into the playoffs. Like, I know you mentioned the Eagles. Their final games are Washington on the road, who they just beat recently, and then the Cowboys. The Cowboys haven't They've looked a little vulnerable over the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Maybe Philly pulls off something at home, but you look at the stretch of in the AFC, the Dolphins in particular to pick them out because you had mentioned them. They end the season at the Titans and then home against the Patriots, as you mentioned. So I mean, scheduling I think plays a really big part in how this season is going to end up. And I know the Dolphins haven't really played that many great opponents. If you look at the Eagles' run, they haven't played that great of opponents either. But it doesn't matter who you play; it matters as long as you get in. And I think that's what matters to a lot of these teams, and particularly the Eagles in Miami, as you mentioned earlier. They're two of the hotter teams, if you will, entering the postseason.
Yeah, and you also take like the Eagles, the finale against the Cowboys. The Cowboys may just bench half their team. It depends on what's going on as far as that elusive number one seed. If they know that they don't have a chance at that number one seed, I know I would bench a bunch of people. I wouldn't play them in series at all. I'd play my backup quarterback. I'd play a backup offensive line and cornerback. So you may see that the Eagles are going to get a gift on that instead of playing. So you have to look at that very last game a lot of times, especially if you're playing fantasy football. You don't want, if you're in the championship game, you don't want to go up against a guy who's gonna, you know, who's had Ezekiel Elliott all this time or Cooper Kupp, and then all of a sudden the Rams don't have anything to play for and he's benched. So the Cowboys just may gift them that game anyway.
Yeah, and Cooper Kupp going for that record right there. Yeah, it's so crazy to think. I mean, there are guys that get records and, you know, we hear about Jamal Lewis and some of the ones that have been broken before. Corey Dillon had it at one point for Cincinnati when it came to rushing in a single game. But if Cooper Kupp gets the all-time receiving record, you know, that Megatron took from Rice and things like this, it just is going to be awkward. I mean, even though he's been solid, but this guy from Eastern Washington, that if he went to the mall during this week before the New Year's, nobody would stop him and be like, that's a – NFL player right there. And he is a guy that walks in here, played on a red field in college in FCS football, and has a really good chance of breaking the NFL record for most yards. It's pretty fascinating what he's been able to do, but also tip of the cap to have Matthew Stafford in his first year.
Yeah, and when he was at the Senior Bowl, he caught everything thrown to him. I have never seen a player contort their body the way he did. His bottom half of his body be over here, and his arms and his upper torso were way over here twisting to catch the ball. And it was just amazing. And a reporter that was standing next to me, it was from a New York paper, he just said, that guy's catching everything. And when he was taken in the third round, I went, wow, I guess that doesn't mean anything. But he had a decent game at Senior Bowl. He must not have turned many heads if he went in the third round, but you know, a lot of players do that. Raymond Berry was taken in the 20th round, and you know, a lot of players just don't get the notoriety that they need, and then it takes just a few years for them to come up, and it might have been the quarterback. Who knows?
Barry, you know, we're not going to finish this segment not talking about a historical moment here. So what do we have in store today?
Well, you talked about Hail Marys, and I assume that you know where it comes from. Just in case you don't, I'm going to tell you where Hail Mary comes
from. I did go to Catholic school for 8 years, so continue.
Yeah, I got you. So we all know that Hail Mary is a Catholic prayer. So how does that become part of American football? Not only is it a part of American football, but it's a part of American culture now. There's time and time again, I saw a political rally where the guy said, we're going to pull out a Hail Mary and win this at the, you know, in the last hour. So it is absolutely everywhere. But we know what a Hail Mary is. It's a desperation pass either before the half or at the end of the game to try to pull the game out. There are actually formations that teams use. What most offensive teams do is they put a guy in the middle, they put a guy in the back, and they put two in the front corners just in case it gets batted any which way. So it's actually a planned play. But where did it come from? How did a Catholic prayer become a part of American football? Well, that happened in 1975. There was an NFC divisional playoff game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings at Minnesota when it was the old stadium and it was outside. So the Cowboys were down 14-10, had 24 seconds to go. Their team was right about midfield. Staubach let go a long pass to Drew Pearson, who's finally in the Hall of Fame, who caught the ball against his hip at the 5-yard line and walked in and scored. Well, how did it become known as a Hail Mary? Well, in the post-game interview with the press, Staubach was asked about the miraculous turn of events, and they asked him what he was thinking as he was broke the huddle and as he was walking towards the line. And he said he closed his eyes, he threw the ball as hard as he could, and said a Hail Mary prayer.
Wow.
Unreal.
That's ridiculous.
I love this part, Barry, because there's always something that – there's always things that, you know, if you dig far enough, you'll end up finding out. But, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily have the time or even the energy or the resources to do that. For you to give us that stuff, I mean, that is a random fact that a lot of people, I would venture to guess, have no clue that – even it existed or why these things have existed in the first place. So I really enjoy your little idioms.
Great, great. And what's odd about this one, though, is if that certain reporter from whatever publication he was writing for, if he never asked Staubach, what were you thinking as you were walking up to the line, then Staubach would have never admitted or even uttered something about a Hail Mary. If Staubach was a Methodist, or if he was a Buddhist, if he was a Baptist, that would have never been uttered. But it's just kind of strange how things mix together, and then they just become a part of the game. Hail Mary is part of American football at all levels. You can watch a college game. You can watch a high school game, and they'll say he threw a Hail Mary. And it's just a play that everybody knows what it is, but that's where it came from.
Barry, always great stuff. Barry Shuck, dogsbynature.com. You could check him out. Cleveland Browns, and also talking some NFL playoffs down the stretch. Barry, real quickly before we go here, Baker Mayfield, sure, over under 2.5 seasons with the Cleveland Browns going on from this year.
Yeah, that's a sad situation. I've got a story in the works where I'm going to kind of line up 3 or 4 veteran players that the Browns should look at. Then, of course, I'm going to line up some draft choices, which, by the way, the Senior Bowl, have you seen the quarterbacks that are coming to the Senior Bowl?
It's the cream of the crop.
It is. It absolutely is. And so I'm excited about that. I think that's going to be on my list of players to talk to this year. And even if they don't draft one, you know, if they draft a guy in the third round, they're basically saying, hey, we need somebody, and just in case you don't come through. You can't throw 4 interceptions in a game and expect to win.
No.
And if you're playing hurt, then the coaching staff should set you aside. It's just the way it is. Everybody's played hurt doesn't mean that you produce. Yeah, see you next year.
See you in 2022, Barry. All right. See you, buddy. All right, very